Welcome to the live weekly message from the auditorium at Encounter. You may not be here in person, but you are still part of the family. Our speaker today is Encounter Life Outreach Pastor David Groppi.
Good morning. I have the great pleasure to share with you today the Lord has laid upon my heart. And Pastor Mike has given me the opportunity to speak, and I always find it an honor to stand before his congregation and speak to you as he would have me speak. You know, I have they're not telling me a story if you tell me I got a big mouth. I already knew that. I hear my wife already. Amen, Brother Dave. But if my words today, I can't help you. I can't. I'd like to, but I can't do it. But he can. Hallelujah. He can. He can. And so I brought the oil with me, and we'll get more involved in that in a bit. I'm anointing me with oil in the name of Jesus. My mouth, my lips. And I give them to the Lord. If you would, bring your hand towards me and pray for me in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to be together as a family. My heart is always full when I come to your house. It's not really your house per se, but it's where your people gather together. And I thank you, Father God, that you've given us a family. I've been there when I was in churches just to walk in and walk out. It wasn't family, but you've given us a family here. I pray this morning that, Father God, I step out of the way. I remove myself from this sermon, Father God, and it's yours. Your voice, your words, your mind, your will. I thank you for that, Father. In the precious name of Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Amen. So the sermon I have for you today is called Altar. Can I tell you today that, let me take a step back. Back at the end of August, the boys here of Encounter, we had an NFL draft. We did. It was fun. Always is. Have some pizza and some wings, and we picked our draft choices, right? Now, believe it or not, Yahoo said, this dude was awesome. He is an A-minus in picking draft picks this year. And they said Pastor was like a D-plus. And inside, I said, amen. I could feel the presence of God in that, right? Well, today is the last day before the playoffs. Unfortunately, he's already in it, all right? I've got to live with that. Savannah, I don't sleep at night because of it. Anyway, I've got to win today, right? For me to even have a shot at getting in. But I have faith, brother, that those things are going to change. Now, what does that have to do with my sermon? I'm hoping that my season is altered today and that it doesn't end. So I want to share with you what the Lord has given me. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke 9 and 29 through 31, and we will begin there. Hallelujah. This morning I want to talk to you about how many here, you don't have to answer me, but how many here has a job? You don't need to answer me, right? How many here went to college or went to some type of education that you could do what you want to do? I would say most of us in the room. The long hours that you put in, the focus above anything else, why did you do that for? For your pursuit of a career that you had lifelong dreams to have. You wanted financial security, right? If I could just get this degree. You know, my lovely wife, she went back to school, and she became an RN. And she can do things that I can never do. I can't go into someone's place where blood is flowing and other liquid. And I'm like, I'm out, okay? But I'm dying. I've nothing I can do about it. I'm out, okay? And I never appreciated her more when she told me this story, how that she was a hospice nurse. That's even worse, right? I mean, there's hospice. I mean, the finish line is being flagged here, right? And she was calmly able to look at a family and tell them, yes, your family's dying, but let's engage. Let's try to enjoy her him the last few days. And these are going to happen. And I remember her telling me a story of a family who had more money than they needed to have. And they were in a hospice setting. And they literally took, who knows how much money, and took that room and made it to look like exactly like their house. They brought in beds and, you know, flowers and everything. But nothing changed. A day come, and they took their last breath. Today, I want to offer you an opportunity to alter your life in a way that the things in the future are changed. And it's through the name of Jesus. Can I get an amen from somebody? It's through the name of Jesus. But you have a lot to do with this. You have a choice today. And there's a lot of people in this room. Listen, I've been serving the Lord for 40-some years. How could there be anything new? Can I tell you that His mercy and His grace is renewed every morning? Can I get an amen? You know, sometimes I need that to happen to me. I need it. That yesterday was a bad day, possibly. Not physically yesterday was, but I had a bad day. And the next day, I needed it to be renewed. I needed some new mercy. I know that none of you needed any of that. You guys have got it. You're on, as they would say, you're on cool street with Jesus, all right? But some of me had bad days where I needed God's mercy and grace yet again. Anybody else in the house? I've been there. I needed to be altered. Let's read the word. Luke 9. He says, and he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who are Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. You know, you look at that and you look past what you know about the cross and the horrific things that happened to him. And let's be honest, they were horrific. And he did it for you and he did it for me. But this was planned. It was a planned scenario where we were given just a glimpse of what the truth is. The truth is that he is God and there's none like him. Amen? The truth is that he's able to make things that seem to be right and to prove them wrong. What are you talking about? Well, you know what? I needed somebody to prove to me that the David Groppi that is didn't have to be the David Groppi that was going to be. Can I get an amen? And I'm here to tell you today, my friends, you have the opportunity today to be altered for his kingdom, for his glory, forever. Well, Brother Dave, I've heard the story. I know that Jesus was born on Christmas, something like that. And somewhere in the spring, he died and rose again. I already know. No, that's the story, and that is the story. But what does that mean to you today? Can I tell you this morning that God has a new pool that he wants you to dip yourself in. And you're going to have to get there. All you're going to have to say, Judy, is yes. Let me go. Let me be there. Because, hallelujah, can I tell you this morning the things that God has for you to do? You got to be somebody else there, brother. You got to be somebody else. You can't be that same person. He wants to put you in a place where you are filled with him and that he's going to put people in front of you. You might not even like them. No, come on, Brother Dave. I'm a Christian. I love everybody. Okay, all right. Well, you can believe that. That's fine, right? But you know what? You put your Jesus light on your heart, you might find out something else. You might say, whoa, where did that come from? Today, God's going to give you a chance to do something. To alter your perspective. Furthermore, and I'm building something here. Furthermore, he's going to give you opportunity today to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't talk about that enough any longer. You know, when me and Mike we attended the Brunswick Church of God, dude, the evidence of the baptism was there all the time. But we've gotten away from that. I don't know why we've gotten away from that, all right? But it's power endued upon you from, can I get an amen, hallelujah, endued from on high to change your perspective. The perspective is, it doesn't really matter. You're nothing. You're nothing in the equation. Brother, your healing has nothing to do with you nor me. It has everything to do with him. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. What's that mean? That means I was blind for 38 years and Jesus come along and said, see again, and bam. What changed in him? He was still blind before Jesus got there. Paul knew about him. Everybody knew about him. Nothing changed. I said Paul, I meant Peter. But when Jesus showed up, everything changed. It was a position of allowing God to alter your perspective. Let's move on. Hallelujah. I look back at our altered states. We've all had them. What does an altered state even look like? Well, something that, where, I know this is simplistic, an altered state is where you were once this, and then you are now something else, and you don't go back to this. And it's happened to every one of you in this place. Say, when you were born, you were in your mother's womb. You were born. There's no going back there, right? There's nobody in the room going, man, I wish I was back there. That was great. I didn't have to cook or clean. I was fed every day, just swimming around. Oh, what are you eating there, Mom? You're eating steak? I love you, Mom. I can't wait to have some of my... What is that? Is that a Reese cup? Whoa. I can't ready to can actually taste one of those. I saw a YouTube of a kid given a if you're a vegan here, I'm sorry, I'm not hammering you, but he was his mom was a vegan, right? So that's all he ate because he was 2 years old, and they had a party, like a birthday party, and one of their friends go and gave him a little bit of hamburger. He goes, he no longer was a vegan. No matter what his mom gave him. Truth. So that's an altered state. You're not going back to that. When you started school. I mean, when you started school, but you know, you're excited. I can't wait, it's going to be so fun. And then by the third grade, you're going, I think I'm sick. I can't make it to school today. And you're trying to get out of it. You don't want to go to school. You don't want to learn, right? Maybe that was just me. I don't know. And then you got married, right? That was an altered state in you. And then you had kids and like, dude, if that doesn't change who you are, then you're not really doing anything with your kids. I'm just being transparent. But the greatest thing that would have happened to you is when you received Christ as your personal Savior. Do you remember the day before that happened? I do. I remember. And I remember when I gave my life to him and I went back to because I was young, I was 16. I went back to school and I found myself stopping myself from cussing and acting crazy with other people because something had changed here. It hadn't got here yet, Judy, but it changed here. I was altered and I was never going back. Now, did I make mistakes? Yeah. I made some huge mistakes, but nothing changed here because I love Jesus. I gave him my heart. I was altered. And to me, my biggest day spiritually was 4 months later. I got saved on February 27th, 1977. I know it's amazing that I remember that. I can't remember like every birthday of all my grandkids, but that's okay. There's going to be 16 of them soon, so they give me a little bit of forgiveness there. But I remember that day. I remember me praying at Church of God, like over my wife is sitting. But 4 months later, I remember going to the Church of God. That was the yearly, I don't know, what was that? Camp meeting. Thank you, sister. And the preacher there said, God's already told me on Wednesday, 50 people are going to receive the baptism. And I wanted that. I was seeking it. I was seeking it. This is a true statement. I was seeking it so much. I was trying to figure it out on my own. And so I started looking back on what could I do to gain this? So what I did was, in my whole life, I've had two fights with two guys. True story, right? One, his name was Harry Boyd, and he lived down the street. And me being a knucklehead, all right, I had like chalk, and I said, Harry is an idiot, or something like that. And he saw it, and it frustrated him. I wonder why, right? So we got into a little tussle there, and we did, all right? Then there's another guy, I can't even remember his name, we got in a tussle at school. So I said, I figured it out. I will go to them, and then God will give me the baptism. Oh, yeah, baby, yeah. So I went to the first guy, right? The guy I don't know, right? And I met him in the middle of the hallway, right? And I go, I'm just going to call him Phil because I know his name. I don't remember his name. I go, Phil, dude, listen, I'm so sorry what happened there. I don't know what happened, but it happened. You know what he did? He goes, Grumpy, you're an idiot. He didn't call me idiot. Call me something else. And he just walked off. Now, it made me feel warm and fuzzy inside, right? But you know what? It didn't matter. I fulfilled the call. So then I went to Harry Boyd. And I get on him and I go, buddy, Harry, please forgive me. I don't know why I did that. I was just joking around and it happened. You know what he did? He gave me a big hug. And he goes, dude, I've been feeling bad about that for a long time. Can I tell you that a week later, he started coming to our church at the Brunswick Church of God, right? He gave his life to Christ. Hallelujah. He's Facebook friends with me now. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Oh, now, I'm nothing. I'm navel-lent. Amen. I got that. But I did those things, and it moved him with the love of Christ. But man, Sunday night I'm going, I'm coming to church. It's going to be a great day. I'm going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I can feel it already. Woo, hallelujah. And they prayed for me. put the anointing oil on. It's dripping down, Brother John. It's just dripping down. Dude, nothing happened. I'm like, God, I kept my part of this. But that wasn't his part. Because the baptism is what? It's a gift. That's right. Just like Christmas. It's a gift. So it didn't happen. So then I'm like, this is crazy. So here comes camp meeting, and I'm like, what can I do? I've been prayed for the baptism. If I got prayed for 10 times, I got prayed for 20 times. What's going to happen? It's not going to work. It's just, Gary, it's not working, man. It's just not. God's just not chosen me, I guess. I don't know. I had no answers. But can I tell you, that Wednesday at camp meeting, and the preacher preached his sermon, I didn't feel a thing. Maritza, nada, nothing. He says, I want everybody that's ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to make your way. Now, if you've never been to a camp meeting in the Church of God, oh, I have it in a big place. It's not made for a church like this because there's thousands of people. We're way up there. It took me 15 minutes just to get down. Can I tell you that as I'm walking toward, I'm just walking, brother. I start speaking in tongues. And I'm like, what is this? And as I got closer, it got stronger. As I got closer to the altar, I could feel myself. Something was changing. I was being altered in me. Something was changing inside of me. And from that day on, I've been changed. Can I tell you, I used to be this backward guy. That's right. Oh, can I have a hamburger with extra sauce? Don't you look at me. I'm trying to eat here. Oh, you're looking at me. Man, I can't eat it all because of you. Now, dude, who's got a hamburger on? I'm ready to eat it right in front of you. I'm ready. You go, I don't have a hamburger, but I got a Reese cup. That will do. But I was altered, brother. I was altered. I was never the same again. Never. Even though that I may, and I did, not do everything that Christ wanted me to do, and I failed him, and I got forgiveness, and then I repented, and then something else come along, and he had to move my furniture around, but I was never the same again. I was still baptized in the Holy Spirit, and when I laid my hands on people, I could feel the Holy Spirit move inside of me. It was a physical thing. That's why I love Pentecost, and I asked the Lord, I said, God, why do you have all these? Why do you have all these denominations? They all can't be right. We have to be right, and they're wrong. And then one day, God said, David, everybody's not like you, boy. And inside of you, I've put something different inside of somebody else, and I want to reach them all. So I tell you that, I told you that story this morning, is I don't want to make you feel that if you've been seeking for the baptism or if today you begin, that it's not against you. It is a worthy thing to seek the Lord at, because I promise you that you will be altered. But that's really not where we're at in my sermon. That's kind of an additive. Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah, the 9th chapter and the 7th verse. So Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus. And he says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. So me being a wordologist, I looked at what does zeal mean? Zeal means there's an enthusiasm in the pursuit of a cause. Can I tell you this morning that God was enthusiastic to put the Lamb of God on the cross? And you might sit there this morning and say, Brother Dave, what are you talking about? That's kind of icky. No. He knew. They already had talked about it there at the transfiguration. He knew what Carol needed. He knew what James needed. He knew what Kelly needed. He knew what I needed. And I just didn't need another preacher. I didn't need somebody who could just spin a good tale and talk some good words and give me scripture. Brother, I need somebody to hang in my place. Hallelujah. I need somebody to say, no, he's not dying. I'm taking his place. That's what it's all about. And he took, I know this is the gospel, but follow me. He took my place. And he did it. God enthusiastically did it. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God wants to alter your life if you give him the opportunity this morning. And what does that mean to you? I don't know what you're dealing with. You might be dealing with a sickness. You might be dealing with issues with your family. You might be dealing with financial issues. You might be dealing with a whole school of things, but it doesn't matter. They're just things. Can I get an amen? Because God himself has enthusiastically paid the price for you, and he wants to alter you today. And that altar starts at the altar. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That altar that he wants you to do starts right there at the altar. And when you, in a minute or two or 15, I don't know how much longer I've got, I'm going to give you the opportunity. And I'm going to call the elders of the church. And we're going to anoint you with oil. And we'll let you and God figure the rest of it out. When I tell you this, Trish, he's on your side. He's not against you. He is for you. Can I get an amen? I humorously try to talk about fantasy football, I don't play him today, thank the Lord. I'd be in real trouble. But there's a win-loss there. There's no lose here, okay? There's no lose here. There's no lose. You're like, oh, Brother Dave, I'm afraid. I'm afraid what God will do. maybe that wasn't you, it was me. Well, God, if I give you everything, there'll be nothing left for me. If I give you all of it, where do I land? You land forgiven. You land in salvation. You land with glory. You land with victory. You land wherever God wants you at, and he will modify you for the rest of your life so you will fulfill what he wants in your life. And then you'll see him face to face. And you will praise him forever. Because in truth, we all know we're just a vapor, right? And I know. I hope nobody in the room's going, "Whoa, what do you mean, Brother Dave? We're just a vapor." Yeah, yeah. Compared to eternity, I mean, you're like, you're done, you're over with, right? But aren't you glad? No, don't miss this. Aren't you glad that he enthusiastically sent the Lamb of God for your vapor day? Come on, for your vapor. Because the Word of God also says in the Old Testament, I challenge you to go look for yourself. He says, the Word of God says, that there will come a time
Hear me, people, that there will come a time that you won't even remember the times on this earth. So either the Bible is a lie, because if it's a lie there, it's a lie in John 3:16. Come on. Either it's all true or it's false. Can I get an amen? That's the truth. And it says, how can that be? Well, you know what? After 3 billion earth years and all that experience, how are you going to remember that? I can see it happening. But God wants to modify you today. One more thing, and I'll begin to close. Bless the Lord. Today, what is God wanting? What altering does he want to do in you? Some of you might say, well, Brother Dave, I've just got to know the Lord. I don't know. I'm too young in him. And I love the story that Mike talks about, how that, you know, I know how it is. Us Pentecostal baptized in the Holy Spirit people, I'm sure none of you, but some of us can be like, yeah, that's right. God baptized me. Yeah. Yep. He saw the potential. Yeah. I can't even say that without laughing, okay? And that the story, you heard the story from him before, where somebody got saved. And the Lord told him, tell him, do you want more? And inside he's going, what more? He doesn't need any more. He's got salvation. And the Holy Spirit tells Mike, no, he needs the baptism. No, no way. He hasn't went through the trials. He hasn't got sanctified yet. He's got to get sanctified. He's got to chase down the guys who beat him up and ask him to forgive him, right? That's what he's got to do. There's no way that, what? Okay, God, boom. And here comes the baptism. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter where you're at right now. It doesn't matter if you served the Lord for 30 years or 3 days. It doesn't matter. What does God want to alter in your life? If you're telling me today, hear me, church, friends. If you're telling me today that God doesn't want to alter your life at all, then you don't know the God that I know of. I'm telling you. You don't know him. And I know that's harsh, but you need to find out. Because God continues to alter your life. He continues to move in your heart and change how you feel. Can I tell you, I've been, and brother, give me some music so the preacher can stop talking. I got baptized in June of 1978. So that puts me about, 46 years ago, right? Can I tell you that God still reveals new things to me. Even this week he did. So I had an issue in my family with the holidays, right? And I really didn't know, and I'm getting emotional, as you can probably already tell. I didn't know what was happening inside of me. But I've served him long enough to know that sometimes I just need to keep my mouth shut. Anybody else? Sometimes, Groppy, shut the pile. Because sometimes I haven't done that. Can I tell you, brother, when I haven't done it, things happen I couldn't put back in my mouth again. I couldn't go back. I couldn't. But the Lord taught me, even again this week, that I just need to shut up and seek him. And it didn't come right away, Judy. It wasn't one of those, okay, Lord, I'm here at the drive-thru window. I'm ready for the Big Mac and make it with extra sauce and make it fast. But I prayed. And nothing happened. There was still something going on here. Then I prayed the next day and I told my wife about it. I wasn't done. There's something wrong. I was having a problem. And I continued to pray and keep my mouth shut. Because trust me, if I would have spoke, because the enemy, I like what Pastor says, he's a bully. I call him names that you don't want me to repeat, because he is, anyway. I know he wanted me to speak, but the Lord gave me grace not to speak, to the point where my family was coming at me saying, why aren't you talking to us? Because you don't want to hear what I have to say, that's why. So I needed my heart altered. It had to change because my carnal flesh wanted to say what it had to say. And just like the Lord, out of nowhere, he downloads into me everything that I needed to do, everything I needed to say, and how to do it. And the Lord reminded me before this happened, he would play out, if you continue this route and you don't hear from me and you move carnally, I saw visions in my mind of us 10 years from now not getting together with family because there was a divide. And that wasn't God's love. It wasn't. I needed to be altered. So I heard him. And I did exactly what he wanted me to do. And then suddenly, what's it say here? For the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he gave me peace. And he gave my family peace. And it all disappeared. Because I allowed God to alter me. And I'm asking you today, I don't know what you're dealing with. Nobody really knows. I mean, listen, I've come to church, you know, before I was here, you know, I was there where James is at, or I was there where Trish was at. And I just, I'm not kidding. I would come to church late on purpose. I know you guys would never do that, okay? So I would come to church about 10:40. Why? Because I didn't have to say anything to anybody because I knew I was messed up inside. And then as soon as pastors got the altar service going, bink, I walked out. But then God altered my heart. He altered. Now listen. That was 10 years ago. I've been here for 10 years. To God be the glory. I love this church. And I served the Lord already for 30 years. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but God had to alter me again. And I'm telling you this morning, there's people in the sound of my voice that God wants to alter you forever, that you've got a choice here. Is that what you want? Or do you want to continue to live in a carnal scenario where someone said to me yesterday, they asked me about a person that I know, and they go, what do you think is going to happen to her? And I go, buddy, I'll be honest with you. I have no idea. I can't give you an answer, but I can pray, and I'm going to leave it at the cross. And I know that God will work it out. It'll all work out. I'm telling you this morning, whatever you're facing, God's going to work it out. You got to give him a chance. Why don't you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. I know this is going to sound weird, but, it's coming from me, so I'm sure you're not going to be too weirded out about it. So, Jeff, I'm taking this anointing oil. I'm going to put it on one of your fingers, okay? And I want you to go to that camera right there. And I want you to, not on the lens, of course, just put it on that. And as you go there, I've got something to say, okay? If you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook, you're not here, but we're anointing you right now in the name of Jesus with the oil of the Holy Spirit. And no matter what you're facing there, it doesn't matter. If you're in Pakistan or Uganda or Israel or wherever you're seeing this at, God loves you. He wants to alter your life because he's got a better you to come. Let him. Wherever you're at, find a place. Get on your knees or get in a corner or in a closet or someplace and seek him and let him alter your life to be what he wants it to be. And if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, ask him for it. You can't earn it. I just told you that. Just ask him for it. God wants to do something in your life dynamically this morning. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining Encounter Life Outreach Pastor David Grappi. More messages from Pastor Rice are available on our website, www.wreckedbygod.com. On our website, you can subscribe to our regular podcast or on iTunes. Find us on Facebook under Encounter.